You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Friday. Happy payday to half of you. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. A lot to get to today, including last night's two, technically, playoff games that we got to watch.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about some news out of Toronto because, God forbid, news doesn't come out of Toronto for a day. And of course, we're going to start the show with a little bit of, I don't want to call it breaking news, but developing news is probably a better way to go. First of all, make sure you smash that like button for us and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure if you're listening on your preferred podcast app that you are subscribed and following there as well. And leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That would be greatly appreciated. And remember, never a bad time, especially on payday, to sign up to become a CHGO diehard. You get access to all of our great written content. Nothing is locked. You get a free t-shirt or hat upon sign up. You save 20% off every day at the CHGO locker, and you save 20% on all of our awesome CHGO events. So you want to become a diehard, go to allchgo.com. It's a great way to support us and give yourself access to the best Chicago sports content in the world. All right. Well, let's start with the shitty news of the day. Darren Dreger, hockey insider for TSN, reported, sources say NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman will meet with veteran coach Joel Quenneville as soon as the season ends to review his status. And then later on, he tweeted, additionally, Stan Bowman has had conversations with several NHL clubs about various opportunities. However, before Bowman can accept the job, he must have NHL approval. As I tweeted from the show account today before the show began, it's not if they're going to be reinstated, it's when they're going to be reinstated. And boy, oh boy, in a very short time, the NHL is just really ready to say, all right, well, you know, you served your purpose, you served your punishment, and feel free to come on back and enjoy the spoils of being in the NHL again. It just, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's disappointing.
Yep, absolutely. If you're new here and thought that Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman were done with their NHL careers and would have to find jobs elsewhere or, you know, ride off into the sunset, welcome. This is how the NHL operates. If you have a long enough tenure, if you win one Stanley Cup, or even if you win just a lot of games, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, you got a job for life if you want it. And whether it's, you know, being a head coach or a GM or whatever, if you're insulated well enough in the hockey community, no matter what happens to you or what you do, there's always going to be a place for you in the NHL, whether you are super racist, or if you help cover up a sexual assault and sweep it on the rug for over a decade, doesn't matter. And that's just how the NHL operates. And we all know it. I think a large majority of people hate it. But until there's new leadership in the league, until there's fresh perspectives at the top, it's going to be the same thing. You know, this is going to always happen. And it's absolutely disappointing to see that, you know, that these two are going to be coming back, one at all, And two, like, so soon. Yeah. So soon. Like, not even... like, we, not even enough time has passed where you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, I guess that's right. Yeah, they were involved in that. Like, not even. It's completely fresh.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I really don't know what else to say besides, like, of course this is happening. It's disgusting. Should they have a second chance in the NHL? Should they be subject to a lifetime ban or whatever? Like, look, for Joel Quenneville, this dude has spent 30, 40 years in the NHL. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's the second most winningest coach in NHL history. He's made money. He's made millions upon millions of dollars. His legacy within the NHL, is what it is. It's not going to be erased. So he could just go off into retirement and be done with it, and no one would bat an eye. I don't know. I you knew it was coming, eventually, but just that it's happening so soon. It's just so typical and disappointing. And I really don't know what else to say at this point. So, good luck to whatever team decides to hire them. Enjoy that PR. And I hope you never win anything.
Well, I'd like to say I'm disappointed, but I'm not, because I expected this to happen. And I'm not even that shocked that it's not even 2 years removed and we're here. I'm not. I'm really not. Because this tells me their teams are inquiring about Joel Quenneville. Mm-hmm. There, otherwise, these discussions wouldn't be here. And we've heard about Stan Bowman. And by the way, just so you remember, we've already adapted the rule, the Stan Bowman rule. When we're talking about him in the context of other teams, we are allowed to speak his name. Since this has nothing to do with the Blackhawks, we'll say his name so we don't confuse maybe people from other fan bases who eventually listen to this. So people are inquiring, and I don't think the NHL would take that PR hit if it's the Columbus Blue Jackets asking to hire Joel Quenneville or the Arizona Coyotes or one of those teams. But if it's the New York Rangers, if it's the Toronto Maple Leafs, they'll take that hit because they want those teams to be at the top of the league. So those are the teams. And there was reports last week that the Rangers were looking to talk to Quenneville, and Larry Brooks said, well, no, because he hasn't been reinstated or anything. So why else would Bettman say he's going to talk to him? Now, if Bettman wants to do – now, it's okay to talk to and review a status. You know, he could call him up and say, hey, Joel, people are asking for you to coach this year. It's not going to happen. There's your review of your status. Have a good summer. That's not going to happen. We all know that. So it is what it is. And yeah, as I've said a million times, and I'll probably say a million more times before I punch out of the time clock of life, I love this sport, but I hate its culture. And its culture is being, you know, just repeats, 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 because the people at the top allow it to repeat. And it is, and we can be enraged. We can yell about it. That accomplishes nothing at this point. Yeah. It is what it is. The only thing people could just stop going to games. You know, that's how when you start hurting these guys in their pocketbooks, in their wallets, their bank accounts, that's when they start to listen. Otherwise, they don't care. They don't. They really don't. And the NHL has made it obviously clear they don't care about these things, these issues that we do. They don't. Until it starts to affect them financially, they never will either. And being in the NHL, and I believe everybody deserves a second chance. Everybody deserves redemption. But for certain things, you know, being in the NHL, it's a privilege. It's not a right. It's not a birthright. Anybody can do it. It's a privilege. And when you do what those guys did, and everybody who was in power with the Hawks did, you lose that privilege in my eyes. If Joel Quenneville was a manager at a Home Depot and he actively covered up a sexual assault on his shift, he would be fired from Home Depot. He would have a criminal record And there's no way within a year later someone from Lowe's is calling him to manage his store. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen in the real world. Joel Quinville would probably be sitting in a jail cell or at least be on probation with a criminal record, not being asked to manage another store.
Yeah.
And he's proven he's not a good leader by what he did. He can win you hockey games, but he makes piss poor decisions when it comes to humanity. And, you know, if you want to put that on your bench, go for it. Take the heat. You better win a Stanley Cup. But, you know, it's just frustrating. But I'm at the point where I'm like, of course, sure, whatever. Just get us to training camp.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL knows that any bad PR hit will eventually blow over. And look, like you said, Greg, I believe in rehabilitation. I believe people can learn from their mistakes. But Joel Quenneville, when this came out, said, "I've never heard of this. This is the first I heard of it was this summer." Yeah, he flat out lied about it. He flat out effing lied about it. It's one thing to say, in hindsight, I should have done more. I was caught up in the excitement of the playoffs, and it was a terrible error in judgment. I owe Kyle Beach a sincere apology and probably a lifetime worth of apologies. I'm so sorry. I'm ashamed of what I did. I'm ashamed of what I didn't do. And I hope that someday I can be forgiven. Okay? That is an actual apology. But then saying, "Oh, no, I never heard of this. Oh, this is the first I'm hearing of it right now." Bullshit. And then he was investigated, and he was one of the first people to know and brush her under the rug with John McDonough and everybody else. I'm sorry. That's not a lapse in judgment. That's not, someone said it in the chat, it's like leaving your kid behind at the store. That's an oopsie. Covering up a sexual assault for over a decade is not an oopsie. Lying about it is not an oopsie. People want to forgive. People want to feel good about the people they used to feel good about. So give them that chance, right? And if he comes out this summer and says what I just said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Big lapse in judgment." No, it's phony. It's manufactured. That apology, if it doesn't come the minute the story comes back out, and even that, you could say, shouldn't count either. It's not enough. It's just not enough. And I, like you said, Greg, it is a privilege to work in this league. It is not a right. And yes, you know, rehabilitation can happen. I don't think anyone should be banned for life. But my God, what is the rush, especially with Bowman? What the hell?
Yeah, it's the last name. He won the lottery when he was born a Bowman. You know, in order to be rehabilitated, you actually have to admit you fucked up. That's the first step of recovery and rehabilitation, is admitting you did something wrong. And Quinville hasn't done that.
Yeah.
And where this is the thing, that this is the biggest repercussion of all this stuff. Fine, you want to bring these guys back. You want to attach yourself to the team. First of all, there better be the same freaking outrage when 31 other cities, and in this one, that there was when the Blackhawks won the draft lottery. Everybody had their screaming, and there better be more outrage, because Jay, you said in a text message in our group earlier, what's worse, firing Joel Quenneville or hiring Joel Quenneville? You know, the Blackhawks, I mean, he was already gone, but the Panthers didn't want to be associated with him after that. And, you know,
well, he still got to coach his one more game.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. This is the biggest problem. What lessons?
One last shift.
What lessons are learned here? How does this prevent this from ever happening again?
It doesn't.
Okay, you did this, and then you could sit at home for a year and a half with your $20 million you've already made in the league, and we'll bring you back. How does that prevent anybody from doing this again? You have to set a precedent. You have to make an example. And if you're not going to make an example out of these guys, then why even suspend them in the first place?
And think about the impact making an example of Joel Quenneville would have to other coaches, to other managers, to other even players. Like, damn, Joel Quenneville did something like this. The second winningest coach of all time. One of the most recognizable coaches in all of sports, not just hockey. Joel Quenneville was famous in all of sports. For the league to say, no, You are not coming back from this. We are not moving on from this. We are not forgetting this. You will never coach in this league again. That has an impact. That changes things. But just, here's your 18-month slap on the wrist. Welcome back, Joel. And you're right, Greg. If it's the Rangers, I hope all those Rangers fans that were pissed off about Connor Bedard and pissed off about everything else are as pissed off about Joel Quenneville coming in. I'm sure there'll be a share of them. And I'm sure there will be a share that say, eh.
And none of them will care when they're in the second round of the playoffs next year, or if they get to a Stanley Cup final, nobody's going to care.
Right.
That's a problem through all sports, professional, not just hockey, all professional sports, all college sports. Winning is put ahead of the welfare of the people who are doing the winning or losing. And it's something that's been a problem in all sports before I was born. So, you know, it's the culture, and until it's going to take new leadership at the top of this league to actually get real culture change. So until that happens, it's just going to be the same thing over and over and over again. And you know, it's to the point where you can't even be that angry or disappointed anymore, because it's status quo. It's status quo. It is what it is. It makes it tough to be a fan of this league at times. But then you have a night like last night where you're like, oh my God, this is like, I love this.
Yeah.
So, and it just, why does it always have to happen where these things come out like hours after you have a great moment?
Doesn't it seem that way?
It just seems like you can't be happy for more than 24 hours.
Yeah, it's the hockey culture doesn't love most people back. It doesn't. And the NHL is they don't want to be taken as a serious league with a lot of decisions that they make. And you know, we're all just kind of, you know, here maybe against our own better judgments of being hockey fans and wanting the NHL and wanting the sport to be better. Maybe we're just wrong. Maybe this is just what the sport is, and there's really nothing else that can be done. I don't know. I hope that's not the case, but you're exactly right. Like the cycle of the NHL and of hockey is like, really cool thing happens, really shitty thing happens, really cool thing happens, really shitty thing happens, and you get about a 12-hour break in between.
Yep, pretty much. Well, should we wash our hands of this for now and get pissed about it again when it inevitably happens in 2 months?
Sure. We'll save our energy for then.
Yeah, I guess so. I just, one last thing, like, I just don't understand why anyone would put themselves through this to bring back Stan effing Bowman.
He fucking sucks as a GM.
Yeah, take
he sucks.
A look. Take a look.
Look at where the Blackhawks are and who put them there.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Any team that brings him in as their general manager or president or puts him in charge of anything, they're going to get exactly what they deserve.
Yep.
They're going to get exactly, unless he gets into another situation that he got in here where he's put in charge of a team that is ready to win and he can benefit from the work that the last couple of guys did for a couple of years, but then eventually it comes through. So, yeah, you go ahead. Enjoy your Stan Bowman.
Yeah, and I'm gonna just speak to Midnight Mike and some of the other people in the chat who are like, why are we even talking about this? The show's been negative. We have to cover the news of what happens, okay? Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman were major parts of the Blackhawks' 3 recent Stanley Cups. If you think we're not going to talk about it because it's uncomfortable, you're on the wrong podcast. I'm sorry. You can go find the PomCom podcast. By the way, you haven't seen 3 more people more excited about the Hawks winning the draft lottery than the 3 of us. So I'm sorry. We're going to cover things as they happen. And if it's uncomfortable, I'm sorry. We're moving on from it in 5 minutes. Come back to the YouTube page or listen to the podcast and fast forward if you want. But like, there's no way we're going to avoid this stuff. Absolutely not. It needs to be addressed. And us ignoring it is, you should not want that from us. I would hope you wouldn't want that from us. So
it'd be negligent on our part.
Right. I wonder what the rest of the negative week was.
I don't know.
Talking to Mike Donaghy.
Like I've had a great week up until today. I've had a great 2 weeks up until today.
Yeah.
You know, having to address this shit, like, this isn't fun.
No, none of us want to do this.
And sure, we don't have to, but if we'd come on and been like, hey guys, what a Friday, like, we'd be a bunch of dicks. Like, it's we have to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't. On Monday, we'll see what the cycle of NHL news is by that time. Maybe we'll get an upswing, or maybe it'll be a downswing. Who knows? But on Monday, the show should be a lot more fun.
Hope so.
I'm gonna make one more point. Are the Panthers up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Final with Joel Quenneville right now?
That's a good question.
It's rhetorical. Are they up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Final with Joel Quenneville right now? Yes or no? They currently are not. He's not there. I mean, they've had success without him.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
With Paul Maurice, yeah. they got the Eastern Conference Final.
They won the President's Trophy with Andrew Burnett for 75% of the season.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there are better options out there than Joel Quenneville,
or just other options. I'm not taking anything away from the guy as a coach. He's a great coach. He's a bad human being. Sorry. I'm sorry.
There are better options for GM.
Yeah. There's people who are going to say, like, well, you can't judge a guy by one thing. This? Yes, I can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Grown-ass men in a room full of grown-ass men made a conscious decision to say, we are not going to do anything about addressing this situation because we want to try and win a Stanley Cup. And apparently this video coach is the key to us winning the Stanley Cup, so we can't do anything about it. And then let's just hope that nothing happens beyond it. Oh, he wants to go get another job? Sure. Glowing recommendation. These aren't 10-year-olds trying to be like, we just broke old man Johnson's window with our baseball. Let's just run and not talk about it. These are grown-ass men that made a grown-ass man decision. Now they have to live with it.
Yep. They knew there was in that meeting they had, there was a calculus. Okay, can we keep this from getting out? Probably, at least for a while. All right, let's do that. Let's bury it. We'll get rid of him at the end of the season. We won't say anything about it. And we just hope it goes away and hope that Kyle Beach never speaks up. And guess what? For 12 years, they got away with it. And then Kyle Beach said, wait a minute, this happened to me and I'm effed up from it and it cost me my entire promising career and it damaged my reputation and I'm miserable and depressed and I hate my life. I needed to talk about this. And I hope Kyle Beach has found some peace because he deserves it. That's for damn sure.
It'd be easier if
Lawrence, can you boot TBG? I've had enough. I'm good. I'm good with that. He's just trolling at this point. So you can just get rid of him forever. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about some playoff hockey, or should we make fun of the Maple Leafs? Sure.
Go to the Houston website and give them some shit.
Yeah. Do we want to make fun of the Leafs first, or do we want to talk about the playoffs first?
We can talk about Leafs.
All right, let's do
that. All right. Should we talk about some sunglasses first?
No, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Because Kyle Dubas might need a pair of sunglasses for all the free time he has this summer. And you can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good, and I think it's even better than any expensive pair I've ever worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for your outdoor adventure needs. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Everywhere, every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they've told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Together with their customers, Shady Rays is providing much needed support to nonprofit partners across the U.S. through the Shady Rays Impact Program. From building play sets to pediatric cancer patients to providing young adults with MS the outdoor adventure of a lifetime, Shady Rays is making an impact in your community and others like it for now and for years to come. If you don't love your Shady Rays, but you're going to, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you stop. When you shop, their team always has your back, and an exclusive deal for our listeners only. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use the promo code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses so you can try for yourself those shades rated 5 stars by 250,000 satisfied customers.
I'm a satisfied customer of Fubo TV. It is my TV streaming service, and I absolutely love it. FuboTV.com/CHGO. 140 live channels of sports, show, movies, and news. You can stream live TV from any device. I got my Roku stick in this room. I could do it on my phone, my laptop, anywhere I want. Watch the most Chicago sports for the lowest price. More on that in a second. Start watching immediately with a 7-day free trial. FuboTV.com/CHGO. There's no contract. There's no cable. There's no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. That's a lot of hours. Watch local teams while traveling. You've got the WNBA tipping off. The NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs are underway. We're not too far away from the NHL draft. You got the White Sox, Bulls, and Hawks on NBC Sports Chicago. And if you want to stream the Chicago Cubs on Marquee Sports Network, the only streaming provider that has Marquee Sports Network is Fubo. Use the link in the description below to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. FuboTV.com/CHGO. So this Kyle Dubas thing is pretty fluid because Brennan is literally talking right now.
Yes, and if you guys have been, if you've taken a second to look at his comments, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I am surprised that this is happening this openly right now. Very interesting.
Well, there's obviously some bad blood between those sides.
Yeah, so if you missed it, earlier this week, Kyle Dubas and the Leafs had their exit interviews, and the story has been, you know, he's this was the last year of his current deal with as being general manager of the Maple Leafs. All the pressure, you know, for him to have the team succeed, all of that. They finally get out of the first round. They get to the second round, lose in the second round. He does his exit interview and basically says, you know, he had been connected to Pittsburgh and all that as potential GM openings. If it wasn't going to be Toronto, he came out and said, I either want to be here or I don't want to be anywhere else. And that the toll that this season took on him and his family was pretty extreme. So he had to have some discussions with his family about wanting to see if he wanted to continue being the GM of the Maple Leafs. That was Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember. That was earlier this week. Today comes out that the Leafs and Dubas are parting ways. And I believe he's team president, Brendan Shanahan, speaking with the media, basically said, he's paraphrasing here, but it's basically like, we didn't think Kyle was going to say the things he said in the interview. And then when he asked us in negotiating for a pay bump, we fired him. That's the sense I'm getting from everything I'm reading from Brendan Shanahan here. And this is, I mean, that is pretty wild. And it sounded like, I mean, you can go through all the insiders you want. They all got pretty much the same information, but it sounded like prior to that press conference, the Leafs and Dubas were talking extension. And then after that press conference, things deteriorated quickly in the eyes of Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah. I saw earlier reports that he wanted a certain number, you know, I'm going to say 6 or 7. Don't hold me to that. I'm going by memory. And then the Leafs countered with, like, we'll give you a private jet to fly to take some of the travel load off of you, because it is a lot, you know, traveling all the time. Fine. And then it was, then now we're getting this info of he wanted a raise. And I think it's very bold for a guy who probably should be fired, as he is, to ask for more money. That's a hell of a flex by Kyle Dubas and a hell of a risk. from Kyle Dubas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Shanny's like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Thank you. No, not interested. So I don't know if the ask or, you know, if they thought they had a deal, and then Kyle was like, well, maybe a little more. And then Shanny was like, nope, screw you. No, that's enough. Like, now you're just, now you're being greedy. Now you're overplaying things. And now you've insulted me. So no, we will not be bringing you back. I don't know.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It's very,
they're always interesting. I'll give them that.
Very, very dysfunctional. They're like the NFL. They can't go a day without being in the news somehow. Yeah, the stuff about his family kind of probably took some people off guard a little bit, obviously. But all that stuff is valid. Like when I heard him say that, I was like, you know, I can only imagine what that's like. I mean, Kyle Dubas, you got to remember, he's still a very young guy. This is his first, like, they hired him from the Sioux Greyhounds. And the youngest GM in the league at the time. And like, he's never really gone through this type of thing. And he's got a family, a very young family, very young children, young wife. I can't imagine the things that get said to his family in Toronto. Like, I'm like ashamed of some of the things that get said to us. And we just report the news. He makes the news. I can't imagine some of the things that gets said to them in public, or, you know, direct messages, or just in general shouted in the universe that gets back to them. So I could totally see a wife and two and young children at home saying, I don't really want to do this anymore, because, you know, I'm tired of having this out there because your team lost in the first round again. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
So I could see that. And if that was the reason he stepped away, I would have a ton of respect for Kyle Dubas. But in the end, it doesn't look like that was the case at all, because the family would have been fine with an extra, you know, few pennies at the end of the paycheck. So, you know, and then the whole thing about if it's not Toronto, I don't want to go anywhere else. We all know that's a load of crap. You know, how many times have we heard, I'm going to step away from family issues, and 6 months later, they got another job. Urban Meyer, I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Oh, my heart. Oh, look at that contract.
Oh, well, the investigation is over. Okay, I can come back now. So the Maple Leafs are Maple Leafing. But let's. I would have been laughing even harder if they brought Kyle Dubas back. It's Brendan Shanahan, the guy that probably should be the one that's under more heat.
I mean,
because people, they keep saying, oh, Kyle Dubas is afraid to break up the core four. I guarantee you, he's got to get Brendan Shanahan in ownership to sign off to trade any of those guys. He just can't show up in the morning and say, I just traded Austin Matthews. No, that's got to get approved from his bosses. So you can throw all that blame on him for not breaking up the core, which should happen finally now. But ultimately, he doesn't get that say. He didn't get that power. Because I'm sure if he did, he probably would have done something 2 years ago, last year. But ownership's not going to sign off on trading Austin Matthews or John Tavares. Brendan Shanahan, I'd still be surprised if William Nylander gets traded. I know people think that's the likely candidate. William Nylander was Brendan Shanahan's first ever draft pick when he took over as president of the Maple Leafs. There's kind of that like, you know, that's my boy kind of thing. There's an attachment there. Like, they had a chance. They could have traded him before they extended him, you know, when the value, you know, but the value was a little lower than it is now. But still, like, so I would almost be willing to bet money that Kyle Dubas will be the next GM or general or president with the Penguins. That might save him from Stan Bowman. That he might be doing them a favor.
Yeah, I mean, jokes aside, he immediately becomes the best candidate for a GM job. And probably rightfully so. Like, I'd like to see what he could do with full autonomy. Because he didn't have it in Toronto, right? Like, it was not ultimately his call and everything. But somebody is going to hire him as the president of hockey operations, and he will have full say on all hockey moves. And I'm interested to see what he does with that power. He's a smart dude. He's young. He's, you know, I think he did great at this year's deadline. Like, at the end of the day, the players have to perform. The players have to do their jobs and overcome the stress and the failures and the we're the Leafs and we're doomed sort of a thing. No, suck it up, go out and play and win, right? Like, the players have to do that. He put them in good position. He made a lot of really savvy moves at the deadline, finagling the cap, doing everything he could to make the team as strong as he could. I mean, yes, he's partially to blame, of course. And yeah, you probably need to make a change there, both GM-wise and roster-wise, but he will get a job quickly if he wants one.
Yeah. And it was interesting to see what Toronto does from here. They went with the young, you know, numbers genius with the last time with Dubas. So you know they're going to go one of these retread dinosaurs now to cancel that out, because it seems that that's always the way that that happens. So as soon as a team thinks outside the box and it doesn't work, they go right back to the old standard. So, you know, Brian Burke's out there. Is he coming back to the is he coming back to Toronto? He always seems to manage to get these jobs. So, you know, we'll see. You know, this one, as much as crap as I've given Kyle Dubas over the years, you know, I wouldn't mind it if he went somewhere else and won in the first year and stuck it to the Leafs.
It's like McLovin says, looking at the core four of the Leafs, none of them played with the heart out there like Crosby, Taves, McKinnon, and Stamkos. Those guys don't know what losing is when it matters most and force through. Leafs never had that. It's like our buddy Shorzy said, he doesn't hate to lose. Right? Like, that's the thing. You got to hate to lose. And I don't know if the Leafs leadership has that. Duncan Keith had that. Jonathan Taves had that. Patrick Kane had that. Like, that's it. That's the, like, you are not beating us. I say it all the time. Those Blackhawks dynasty teams, they didn't lose. They ran out of time. That was their mentality, right? Like, it was just a matter of time till they got you back. And sometimes the, you know, sometimes the clock wore out before they were able to get there. But that's it. You got to have that killer instinct. And I think their history is part of why they don't, right? Like, it's been so bad for so long and they've fallen so short so many times that that history weighs on them. But the 2016 Cubs got over it. If they can do it, anybody can.
if the Cubs can shake that stigma, any franchise can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Cubs went almost 60 years longer than the Maple Leafs have gone. So, like,
look at the makeup.
If the lovable losers can win it all, the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, John, you know, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner can figure out a way to score a couple more goals in a series.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the atmosphere of playing in Toronto is probably unlike any other in the NHL. And as much as players and whatnot, as much as they say that, you know, oh, we block it out, we don't listen to anybody, it's impossible to do that in Toronto. You hear everything. You are asked everything. Everywhere you go. You can't go anywhere in that city, most Canadian cities, as a hockey player and not be recognized, not be asked questions, not be, you know, bothered. Media are going to be on top of you 24/7. It's just a different animal. And yeah, I mean, some players are able to thrive in that. Some players are able to, you know, overcome it. And some players can't. And I think that market, you need to be the right kind of player. You could be one of the most talented players in the league, like a Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, like all those guys go down the line of what they have. But there's an extra little bit of something that you need to kind of overcome the exterior, that, and not let it trickle on to, you know, what happens on the ice. So it's the nature of the beast. So you go to Toronto, you kind of know what you're signing up for, and that pressure is there. So, and I think, you know, probably as part of, like you guys said, part of the reason that Dubas was like, this is taking a toll on me and my family. But we'll see what he does. I mean, you know, the decision has been made for him now that, you know, he's no longer GM of the Leafs. We'll see if he, you know, actually does stick to the, like, you know, the notion that he put out there, like, I only want to be here, or I'm not going to go anywhere. Take a year off, see what happens. I would tend to doubt he takes a job right away, but who knows?
Yep. Well, this Maple Leafs organization, since this core was put together, they have now had two GMs, two coaches, possibly a third one coming. When's it going to be on the players? When's it going to be the players?
Maybe this summer, because it feels like there's some sort of reckoning coming.
I mean, it's been these guys for how many years? And then the last few handful of seasons, it's been, you know, Dubas that had piecemeal together teams that are supposed to, you know, be tougher in the playoffs, be more defensively focused. You know, you're supposed to have a better goal. I mean, he tried to fit every puzzle piece you're supposed to of a team that's supposed to win games and compete and contend. There's not much else he can do other than trying to suit up and play on the ice himself. So,
yep.
And yeah, I don't know.
This really, the timing of all this really affects the Auston Matthews situation, because first Matthews and Dubas had a really good relationship. And I think that was part of the reason they were open to extending Dubas in the first place, was to help facilitate keeping Matthews here beyond next season. So now Dubas is gone and Matthews needs to have an extension signed before July 1st, or else his full no movement clause kicks in, which means if they come to the conclusion this season that they can't re-sign him and they want to trade him, he can say, nope, we ain't doing that. I'm going to go, you know, I'm playing this out. And, you know,
he walks in free agency potentially.
Yeah. He could stick it to him. And if you don't have a general manager that he can get to know and learn his vision and maybe trust him before then, who knows? So, I know we in jest most times talk about Auston Matthews coming here to the Blackhawks, but I think this is pushing him towards the exit door, not through it, but just steering him in that direction a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially depending on who they bring in, man, because this next GM, welcome to the pressure cooker, man.
And not only who they bring in, but who they move this summer. Like if they move someone that he loves, that's going to feel like, right. All right, screw this.
At this point, do they see what they can get for Auston Matthews?
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that he's traded. But yeah, there needs to be a decision.
If he tells them, I don't want to sign an extension. I don't want to sign an extension. You know, let's see the season and play it out.
All right, number 19 might be like number 19 in the Hawks' first pick next year for Auston Matthews.
That's sure. Not enough for Toronto.
Shh.
But I'll throw in a fifth round pick if we can get an extension signed before they trade.
Ooh, a fifth? That's spicy.
Oh yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, Hawks' first pick next year could still be a lottery pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine
not with Auston Matthews and Connor Bedard.
That's true.
Yeah, I'd imagine that would maybe take you out of the serious running for the first overall pick there.
Yeah, probably. Unless they,
I don't know. It's the Maple Leafs. You know, pieces are falling to the wayside. Probably Sheldon Keefe might be out too. If you get a new GM, new coach, you might just kind of say, "Hey, we need to find some other new parts." So. If they're open to discussing William Nylander or Auston Matthews or Mitch Marner or Morgan Riley or any of those guys, I think Kyle Davidson should definitely have his phone nearby.
All right, before we move on.
Can't hurt to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, before we move on from the Leafs, one last thing. If you're bringing in a new coach, because then you thought coaching was a problem, right? You know, A plus B equals C. Do you give the new coach a year with the core four and see what he can do with it?
Depends on the coach, but
you could, but then Nylander and Matthews are up at the same time. So if it doesn't work,
nothing, right? Yeah.
If it doesn't work, then you're handcuffed and basically like, well, you might lose both of them in free agency. Who knows?
You're going to lose one for sure. You can't afford both of them.
Right.
I don't know. It depends on the coach. But, like, if they were going to make – the Maple Leafs blew their chance at coaching change. If they were going to do it, it should have been last summer when you had Jim Montgomery and Butch Cassidy and Pete DeBoer out there. That was the year to do it. Those were obvious upgrades over Sheldon Keefe. So if you're going to just get rid of him just to get rid of him, you better bring in somebody that's an obvious upgrade.
Joel Quenneville.
You know,
cool. I mean, I already hate the Maple Leafs, so they ain't gonna change it at all.
There you go.
Yeah, you go back to the point you guys, Greg made earlier. Would the league be working so hard to try and, you know, see if they could get Quenneville reinstated if it wasn't a team that was a marquee team?
Yep. It tells me the somebody that Brendan Shanahan made a phone call. That's what that tells me.
Potentially. Yep. Oh. Hey, it's their franchise to deal with. So we'll just crack open a beer and watch it unfold, right?
Sounds good.
Watch it burn.
Watch it burn. Hey, if you're looking to, as I readjust my seat here, as it's breaking.
Greg, it's happening, buddy. He's breaking chairs. He's starting to grow. He's getting sore before the show. Like, oh yeah.
He's getting larger.
And you know what? I'm falling apart.
See? Have some full bodied beers. That will help.
Oh my god! All right, let's try this again. Here we go. Try not to break my chair. Try not to smash my head into my shelf. All that good stuff. Just to tell you guys about Goose Island Beer Company and how delicious their beers are. They are Chicago's beer since 1988, and they are the proud beer sponsor of us here at CHGO. And you're not going to find a better roster out there to pair with your good summer vibes than Goose Island's beer roster. They got the Goose IPA, the 6-time medal winner at the Great American Beer Fest, which is always in style with their citrus, with its citrus aroma and dry hop finish. You got the Full Pocket Pils, the everyday beer, what the beer brewers are drinking. You got the Tropical Beer Hug, the dry hopped Imperial IPA that is a 9.9 ABV that is dangerously easy to drink. For me, one of those, and I'm good to go. And of course, you got the 312, the golden cans that shine bright in the summer sunshine. So you're never going to mistake yourself with a poor beer with that roster from Goose Island. Grab an ultra fresh brewery exclusive beer at the Goose Island Original Brewhouse on Clybourne Avenue in Lincoln Park, or you can go to their tap room on Fulton Street in Westtown. Again, that is the Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sounds so delightful.
It does.
And
what else sounds delightful, guys?
Saving Munergy. The Common saving Energy Munergy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
You said it. ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across the territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Tell the good folks how that works, Greg.
Well, since I actually paid attention tomorrow yesterday, I can tell you how it works. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or, as I prefer, virtually, and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on not later, but immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. Saving Munergy. If you own a business, do it right now. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy, Munergy, for energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment. You can go to comed.com/poweringbiz.
Yes, go there. comed.com/poweringbiz.
BIZ. Schedule it today.
That's right. Exactly right. Hey, let's talk about the damn playoffs, because last night was a hell of a lot of fun. I am dragging ass today because I stayed up, watched the whole thing, and then I had to get up for a doctor's appointment that was at 8. So I was up at like 6:30 because I can't sleep because I'm afraid I'm going to oversleep. But damn, it was worth it. And who else but Matthew Tkachuk? It's just like, dude.
Yeah.
I love the guy. And he let me go to bed. So I love him even more now.
And that game was arguably over, you know, 3-4 minutes into the first overtime period, depending on how you look at goaltender interference. But Hey man, we almost got five extra periods of hockey. That would have been incredible.
Yeah, I was bummed because I got home last night and I'd missed the first period. I was like, damn, I missed a period of hockey. Little did I know I was going to get four extra ones. So I'm on credit.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a
free two, that was
two games worth of hockey.
That was quite the thing. You know, pretty much exactly what we expected from these two teams. Very evenly matched. Two teams that play very similar style of hockey. Depth and you had some big saves. And how about Sergei Bobrovsky making over 50 saves and back-to-back playoff wins? I mean, I think he's the third goalie to ever do that. This was the
pretty impressive
sixth longest game in NHL history. You know, it was you know, and could you imagine being one of those people that thought the game was over and then leaving and getting in your car and getting home and like, wait a minute, what do you mean the game's still going on? And there was some, we could talk about that goal being disallowed. I mean, that was a hot topic. I personally thought it was the right call, but I was surprised they actually made it. Because
that's a good way to put it. Yes.
Yeah. Like,
it was the right call, and I'm shocked they took it off the board.
Yeah.
Because people will say, well, Jack Jury pushed White into the goalie. Not really. It was Jury, right? Is that the player that was in front of the net?
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of – he's defending. He wasn't watching White. He wasn't facing him and using his stick to push him. He was owning the pace of ice that he has the right to be at. And he tried to go around him and thus causing the contact and didn't try to avoid Anderson. That's goalie interference. Right. Sure, he had to move skate towards the goalie because of Drury's positioning, but that's all it was. It was his rightful defensive positioning. So instead of trying to skate behind him, he should have tried to skate in front of him and he would have avoided the contact and the goal probably still goes in because now you've got a double screen in front of the goaltender. Right. So like it was the right call and I was flabbergasted they made it and I was happy they did.
Good. Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, I get the idea of, well, it's the playoffs, so we're going to call it differently, but I don't know. As I've gotten older, I don't really love that. Like if it's a penalty, it's a penalty. If a guy gets tripped, he got tripped. Like it should be called.
Yeah. I don't want to see the just, you know, no rules, two hand slashes, like all that stuff. That's not what I want to see. I want to see the best possible hockey possible. It's the same argument in football when people say, oh, the Super Bowl needs to be played in, you know, weather controlled climates. And, you know, you want to see the best, you know, the best possible product out there. And when you let players take liberties or you don't call things, then you're not playing the sport, you know, properly. And yeah, I was surprised that they brought that goal back because, you know, you'd already had the celebration and, you know, people were already leaving the arena. It would have been very NHL to be like, well, there's nothing we can do now. You know, the game's already been decided. Refs skate off the ice. But, you know, when they panned over and the refs were all at the box looking at the monitor, I was like, oh, snap, like we actually have something here. So yeah, it was a great game. The overtime was tense. A lot of good chances. I think Brandon Montour is giving Matthew Tkachuk a nice big bear hug in the locker room for saving his ass for missing that wide open net that he had that he hit the post. And you know the goal too. You get to the final seconds of a fourth overtime. It's just Tkachuk kind of just throwing the puck at the net and seeing what happens. He wasn't even looking. He just kind of came out and chucked it up there, see what happens. And yeah, it was it worked out. So it was a fun game. I wanna look it up because Freddie Anderson was on the losing effort. Is he on the losing effort of two games in the top 10 of the longest in NHL history?
He was the Ducks goalie.
Because he was the Ducks goalie.
Against the Blackhawks, yeah.
Yeah.
The headbutt goal game.
Yeah, which was 8 years ago today.
Yeah. Wow. So, he's logged an entire season's worth of minutes in two games.
Yeah.
As the game goes on too, and the guys get exhausted, like you mentioned, Tkachuk just throwing it at the net, that kind of became the strategy. Like, get in the zone and just get guys in front. I'm just going to flip it, and hopefully it hits somebody and goes in, and we can go home because,
man.
That's how all those extend – once overtime goes past 10 minutes, that's how you're going to win because you're not beating anybody one-on-one at that point because everybody's just as tired. It's slow, and we saw throughout the second and third overtimes and the fourth overtimes, until the final minute or two of those overtimes – everybody was so cautious. Nobody wanted to make a mistake. They were playing safe. They were playing slow. And then you get a couple chances here or there, but nobody was looking to make a stretch pass to try and break somebody out. No defensemen were not pinching in. It was very, safe. And then the last minute or two of those overtimes, it was just like, hell, let's just get it to the net. And that's what you got to do. I mean, how many times have we saw that during those Blackhawk runs? It's not a highlight reel goal that wins those games. It's Dave Bolin shooting a puck that hits off of two pairs of shin pads and goes in. Just throw it to the net and see what happens.
Well, I know Ryan Lomberg had the goal disallowed, but that was like the one guy left in the game with energy. Even Keith Jones was saying, like, God, this guy won't shut the hell up on the bench. He's like the only guy. And he was playing like it, man. He was shot out of a cannon.
He had missed like the last six games, I think. It was his first game back. He missed the entire Toronto series. And he'd only played 13 minutes in regulation. So he was fresh.
Plenty of gas.
And I'm glad you mentioned Keith Jones.
Yeah.
Do you think it was awkward at all for Eddie Olczyk to be standing there? Hey, Keith, tell us about this. The guy that just beat him out for the Flyers job. That had to be a little weird for old Edzo there.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, I mean, they seem like they're pretty good friends. I'm
sure they are. But, I mean, we all know what Eddie's ultimate, objection here is, what his ambition is, and even if your buddy beats you out for a job, you're still gonna be a little you son of a
Eddie's wanted this for so long. He wants to be in a front office so badly, and it just hasn't happened. I don't really know why. I don't have all the info, of course, but like, you know, with all the
we're not in the interviews, so we don't know what But, I think, he played in Toronto for a long time. Maybe he's going to be the next GM of the Maple Leafs.
There you go. I'm sure he'd love that.
I just started that rumor right now.
Maybe. CSGO reporting, not actually reporting. Yeah. So do we take anything away? Do we feel any differently about the series now that the Panthers took game one? I mean, it's what we expected. A super close, super tight series. It was just great.
Yeah.
Give me seven period games, please.
Seven straight road wins for the Florida Panthers this postseason is one of the most impressive Stanley Cup playoff things I've seen any team do ever.
What's the record? Incredible. Do we know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't looked that up. I'm surprised that's not all over. They must not be close because it hasn't been all over the place.
I'm going to look it up.
I mean, that is really
impressive. I'm sure the Montreal Canadiens won a shit ton of road games back in the 40s and 50s when they would just sweep through the Stanley Cup playoffs 8 years in a row.
Yeah, but you only had to win two rounds then. So at max, you're only playing 12 games.
Yeah, so
14 games.
Well, you'll be shocked to know that the NHL.com record site is not working. I'm getting a bad gateway from them. Can you believe it?
Maybe Gary Bettman's reviewing its status.
Good Lord.
Maybe.
I know the overall record is 12. That was the Penguins the year they beat the Blackhawks.
14
straight. Well,
Fourteen straight road games, fourteen straight wins.
Yeah, the Penguins beat that was 92 Penguins. Well, they started it the year before, I think. I don't know. Oh. I just know it was the Penguins. They have the most overall consecutive playoff wins, but road wins, I don't know. If I was a betting man, I'd bet it on the Canadiens.
You can look at it on NHL.com, and then you get the error message. So I'm trying to. It's just very frustrating. Way to go, NHL.
Good cool. Job. A very serious league.
Yeah, well, they're getting back at us. They heard our first segment of the show, and they're like, we're not going to let you look up records on our website, you
cool
social justice warriors, you.
That's my favorite insult, by the way. You moron, you fight for social justice.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. All right. More tonight. Dallas, Vegas.
Give us some more overtime.
Yes, please. That would be
fun. Why not? The more hockey we can get for free, the better.
Yeah, that building is going to be rocking tonight in Vegas. They're going to be fun. And there was a little other bit of news today that I don't think is a huge surprise, since we were talking so much about our Arizona Coyote buddies. Logan Cooley officially announced that he's going back to the University of Minnesota for his sophomore season. So that may have happened though, regardless, but obviously the arena thing probably was the timing of this announcement. It's not a coincidence, but he might've done that anyway. Because there's nothing wrong with a kid at that level, you know, to get another year at college, but I'm sure the arena was the main factor. But, and of course, a lot of people are now speculating he's never going to go there. Let's let it play out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how often does a top five pick play in college and let their draft rights expire?
I can't remember.
I don't think very often. So yeah,
and there was some other stuff about the city of Mesa in outside of Phoenix. Their mayor, I believe, said out of like the six possible sites they could possibly build there, five of the six would not require a public vote. It's privately owned land, so they could just get it and do it. So that's a fluid situation that's changing every day. But Logan Cooley going back to Minnesota.
By the way, have you seen the Coyotes' Twitter account lately?
Yes.
Last night
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, last night they put up a poll that says, "Pack, we want to hear from you. Where should the Coyotes build our new home?" And then Mesa, Scottsdale, Chandler, or Gilbert. Scottsdale got 69%. And then today... Nice. They go, nice. Thank you. They say, "Pack, if this tweet gets 20,000 likes by the end of the day, we will leak our new arena plans." That was an hour ago.
How many likes does it have?
22,000.
Okay, so let's see the new plans.
What are they doing?
Yeah, I
because A, I don't believe you, and two, what a like. Oh, I have to preface everything I say about the Coyotes. This is not a reflection of our PHNX friends and group and colleagues. What a Mickey Mouse fucking organization. like they're, how do you take them seriously? You can't. Yeah.
No. And then like maybe get the pulse of where your fans want you to play before a failed arena plan goes through. It's, like with a real survey, not a Twitter poll.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like passing that note in class in fourth grade. Do you like me? Yes or no?
I will say that game someone
with the paper where you're like, is that how they?
Oh yeah, yeah. Blue B L U.
Come on, Mesa. Come on, Mesa.
I will say though, someone pointed out that. The Coyotes Twitter account posted that poll at like 3 o'clock yesterday, and then Teamwork Online, if you've ever searched for a job in sports media, that's where you usually go. They posted a social media and admin position with the Coyotes at like 4 o'clock, so they were like, this person got immediately fired.
Oh my god. Well, the new one's gonna get fired too. Apparently,
I'm sure not real. I'm sure know, not really. Yeah. But like, it was just funny timing.
That's awesome. Well, it's good to see they're hiring people. Yeah. They must be confident about something.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. I didn't look at the job posting, but I would assume that willingness to relocate might be a requirement.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. All right, let's wrap this up. We've already gone late. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks to everybody for sticking with us throughout the show. They're not all going to be seashells and balloons. We got to cover the good. We got to cover the bad. It's what we do here, but hey, there's going to be a hell of a lot more good than bad in the coming months and years, so stick with us. I promise. We don't like to do it either, but damn it, we just cannot ignore when bad shit happens, and we shouldn't, and we won't. So, all right, we'll talk to you Monday at 2. Remember, mail back Monday. Get those questions in. I will send the tweet from the CHGO Blackhawks Twitter account as soon as we wrap up the show, so hit us there, CHGO_Blackhawks. Blackhawks@allchgo.com, or hit us up on our members only Discord. Yes, Mario's raising his hand.
One more thing.
Yes.
Tonight, game 5, Seattle Thunderbirds and Winnipeg Ice in the WHL final. Seattle is up 3-1. So a chance for Kevin Korchinski, Colton Dock, and Nolan Allen and all their Thunderbird friends to not only lock up a WHL championship, but also send them to the Memorial Cup. So go Thunderbirds. that is going to be exciting tonight, as well as the NHL playoffs.
Is it actually on TV? Because the London Knights and the, what was it, Peterborough the other night was on?
Yeah, it was on NHL Network.
Yeah.
That game. I think you have to have like a watch WHL TV subscription or something, unless you live locally. I don't think it's on NHL Network or anything. And we don't live in Canada, so we don't get all the good hockey stuff. So.
Wow. Lame. Yeah. All right.
Well, by the way, Thunderbird Friends was my all-time favorite Saturday morning cartoon.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Was it the Thunderbirds that was like the marionettes and stuff?
Oh.
Wasn't that a thing?
What was that? Yeah.
I know what you're talking. I know.
I did not mean to derail the end of the show.
I think you're right. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
It was like,
of course,
it was
like the Thundercats, but yeah.
Yeah, I know Thundercats, but wasn't there like
I think you're right. Yeah, it was like a 60s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thunderbirds.
Oh, yeah.
They should change their logo to some marionettes.
To some puppets, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll talk to everybody Monday. Reminder, we are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. We'll talk to you Monday at 2 for Mailbag Monday on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.